From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, May 7th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and DiversionsGames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at RedZoneWireless.com.
The Maine House today rejected a Senate-passed religious exemption to the requirement that all Maine school children be vaccinated. The measure now goes back to the Senate. Mal Leary has more.
Maine is currently among 17 states that allow parents to opt their children out of school-required vaccinations for medical, religious, and philosophical reasons. The bill passed by the House would allow an exemption only for medical reasons. But the Senate's bill would allow an additional exemption on religious grounds. The House vote means the Senate will vote again on the issue. Supporters of the medical-only proposal worry that if the Senate does not change its vote, the current law will continue, which public health experts warn could lead to the spread of diseases like measles. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Portland City Council last night narrowly defeated a requirement for city employers to provide workers paid leave. Today, the Maine Senate gave a preliminary thumbs-up to a similar measure. Senator Rebecca Millett, a Cape Elizabeth Democrat, says the bill would allow workers to earn up to 40 hours of paid time off a year, and not just for personal medical issues.
If child care is canceled, parents should be able to stay home to take care of their children without fearing economic consequence. If a worker's car breaks down on the way to work, they should be able to take it to the shop without fearing that they lose the paycheck to pay for the repair. If a worker is sick, they shouldn't have to choose between visiting the doctor or keeping their job.
The legislative measure would apply only to businesses with 10 or more workers, a narrower set than addressed by the Portland Initiative, which would have applied to all workers in the city. The bill faces further action in the Senate and House. Maine's Department of Health and Human Services is launching an initiative to improve care and services for seniors and adults with disabilities. A 12-member advisory group made up of consumers, providers, advocates, and lawmakers will hold listening sessions across the state as part of their work to produce a report this fall proposing specific reforms. In a press release, DHS Commissioner Jean Lambrew says the initiative is critical to support the state's aging population. According to the department, by 2036, over one quarter of the residents in every Maine county will be age 65 or older. Meanwhile, the annual cost of full-time home care, about $54,000, exceeds the state's median income. A major energy company is appealing to the state's highest court the Maine Public Utilities Commission permit for Central Maine Power's controversial proposal for a new transmission line through western Maine. In a notice to the PUC, NextEra Energy Resources says it's challenging the decision on several grounds. Among its objections, NextEra says the PUC should have required CMP to perform a full analysis of non-transmission alternatives to the project, did not consider other reasonable alternatives to the project, and should have considered ways to mitigate detrimental environmental effects the project would create. Under state law, appeals of PUC decisions go directly to Maine Supreme Judicial Law Court. The Maine House of Representatives has given preliminary approval to a bill requiring the state's Medicaid program and private insurers to cover abortion services. The vote broke mostly along party lines, with the Democratic majority voting to pass the bill after more than 2 hours of debate. The proposal brought out both sides of the contentious abortion debate, which has intensified in Maine and nationally as Democrats and Republicans court voters increasingly motivated by the issue. Steve Missler has our story.
For more than 40 years, Congress has prevented the use of federal funds from being used to pay for an abortion, except for extreme instances, such as rape or to save the mother's life. The prohibition, enshrined in what's known as the Hyde Amendment, does not prohibit states from funding abortion services through their Medicaid programs, as long as only state funds are used. But 35 states, including Maine, have long blocked the use of state Medicaid funds. The bill approved by the House Tuesday and sponsored by Democratic Representative Joyce McCrate of Harpswell would end that prohibition.
This bill puts an end to using a woman's access to insurance coverage as an unequal, discriminatory barrier to a safe, legal abortion.
McCrate's bill requires the state to fund abortion services through the Medicaid program at an estimated cost of $375,000 a year. It also requires health insurers that provide coverage for maternity services to also cover abortion services. Democratic Representative Victoria Foley of Biddeford says the current prohibition in the state's Medicaid program puts low-income Mainers at a disadvantage, leaving them with the prospect of having to pay for expensive abortion services out of their own pocket. Foley says the bill, LD 820, would end that discriminatory practice.
LD 820 is about equity and access, so that people's health care choices are not limited by how much money they make or what their background is.
And supporters of the bill say the impact could be significant. According to data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, more than half of reproductive age women enrolled in Medicaid, roughly 8 million women nationwide, reside in states like Maine that restrict abortion services from coverage. Those statistics have led 15 states to change their Medicaid programs so that state funds can be used. Maine could become the 16th, a prospect that worries pro-life activists and legislators like Republican Representative Richard Pickett of Dixfield.
I believe, personally, that life begins at conception, and I do not want my taxpayer dollars to pay for taking the life of a child.
Pickett described the bill as part of a liberal agenda run amok, with Democrats controlling the legislature and the governor's office.
If there is a positive, Maine people, I believe, are standing up and taking notice and seeing what is actually going on here.
Pickett's suggestion that there could be a voter backlash to the proposal may have some merit. Opponents of the bill flooded the hallways before Tuesday's vote, urged on by the Christian Civic League of Maine, which has made the proposal the topic of frequent action alerts. But supporters of the bill and pro-choice activists turned out in big numbers, too. Together, the showing by the two sides illustrates how abortion has become an animating force for a certain subset of highly motivated voters. And winning over those voters has sometimes led to the passage of highly polarizing abortion bills, including one signed by Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp Tuesday that allows bans on abortions as soon as a heartbeat can be detected, roughly 6 months into a pregnancy. The Georgia bill has been characterized by pro-choice advocates as a massive overreach by Republicans. In Maine, pro-life activists and Republicans are saying the same thing about Democrats' push to lift a ban on taxpayer-funded abortions. The Maine Senate takes up the proposal next. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1, when our guest will be Weekend Edition Saturday host Scott Simon. I'm Ed Morin.